Welcome to our Friday Five Live podcast hosted by Meg Foster. Meg has spent 20 years in higher education focused on student success initiatives and working in areas such as orientation, faculty development, online learning, student leadership, and first-year initiatives.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Friday. We just love seeing folks putting in the chat where they're listening from today. As Melissa's reminded us, but just in case you're just joining us, don't worry, we're recording this. We will make sure that you get the recording, the PowerPoint, but also Friday Five Live is a podcast. So feel free to listen to us on your favorite podcast device. And I think we pair nicely with a good walk around campus or a cup of tea. That's just my personal thoughts on that. I do want to cover just a couple of housekeeping things before we get into the meat of our time together today. This is kind of a multi-part conversation. I do want to give a shout out to California Community Colleges, to LIFT, which is an incredible organization supporting women in their development as higher education professionals, and Cal State Fullerton. We're partnering with these organizations to bring this material to you. So this week, we're talking with some faculty about using AI and some micro-credentialing that Innovative Educators is offering, and really where they're going with that in their work. Next week, we're going to talk to some classified staff folks about using AI in a variety of different spaces. These are folks working in tutoring centers and all kinds of different kind of student support roles. And then we're going to wrap up November 1st talking about kind of using AI in this space as college administrators. And so that's where I want to circle back to that point about accreditation. I just think that's going to really be a space that AI could be an incredibly useful tool, because I know Aaron, Maria, and I, we didn't intend this, but we all are at Southern Association of College and School Institutions. And so we know that process very well and know how complicated it can be. Maria, Aaron, and I have all served on accrediting committees. And that's why some people like me have gray hair. Just saying, I'm not calling y'all out though on whether or not you have gray hair. And just as a reminder, we are Innovative Educators is offering an AI bootcamp for faculty and staff. And Maria and Aaron were kind enough to spend time moving through that content, and I've done the same. And so in our PowerPoint, we have links. If you're at a community college in the state of California, there's a link for you. If you're at CSU Fullerton, a link for you. And if you're at any other institution in the world, there's a link for you as well. So that's kind of the housekeeping pieces of today. Just as a reminder, if you're new to Friday Five Live, we sure do love the chat. So I'll keep an eye on that. Please put your questions in there. That is going to be just a fantastic space for us to engage today. And I am really fortunate to be joined by two incredible colleagues, Maria Poindexter, who was fortunate enough to get to work with at Reynolds Community College. She does a variety of different things in higher ed spaces and is a faculty member at the University of Richmond. And then Dr. Aaron Huey, who has been gracious enough to let me hop on some of his webinars, who is at Western Kentucky University in their student counseling and student services department. So, you know, Aaron was sharing that he has been in higher education long enough to be on the quarter system and now on the semester system, and that, you know, maybe some of us are swinging back to other systems. So welcome. Thank you both for spending some of your Friday with us. As always, we come to Friday Five Live. Don't worry, we got some questions. And I hope that Maria Poindexter has seen Maya Johnson saying that you're one of her favorite humans ever. I mean,
thank you, Maya.
Out every day. No, so we got to call that one out too. So we've come with some questions for you all, but and you know, this is a conversation. So folks, if you have questions that you want to add, definitely put those in the chat. We'll weave those in today. So the two of you were very awesome and spent some time completing a micro-credential in AI, and wanted to see kind of your thoughts around how you reflect that this might fit. You know, you've completed this training. How's this going to fit into kind of your overall teaching practice? Were there any kind of aha moments or things that kind of bubbled to the surface for you as you were moving through? And anybody can take the question, just hop on and we'll move through.
Well, I'll start, Erin, if you don't mind. As I was going through the training, which I really appreciate the on-demand feature and picking and choosing the modules that I wanted to watch first, second, third, and so on. I'm also putting together a class that I'll be teaching this spring on human relations or dealing with conflict in the workplace. And so I found myself going back to the skeleton of my syllabus and thinking of ways that I can pull in AI, ways in which I can assess using AI. So it for me, AI, and I have to admit, AI is very new to me, especially in the academic world. So it was very, very beneficial for me. And I think that as I get into it more and more and start actually using it, it's going to be a learning process. I have to admit to that. But I'm eager to see how my students react to ways in which I infuse AI into the course. I think the first thing I'm going to do the first class is ask two questions. I'm going to make sure I want to know how they see AI fitting into the class environment, how they if they're using it, if they're using it, and how they plan on using it. And then I think I will complete that conversation or end that conversation with my expectations of how they will use it. But because my knowledge is still limited, I'm eager to hear how they see themselves using AI, and then if moving forward from there. So I think this spring is going to be really a learning experience for me with AI in the classroom.
Thank you. Erin, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, one of the things that I was very interested in going through the micro-credential and getting I do like the way it was laid out with the three required webinars and then the three electives. I got to kind of pick and choose what I wanted to do based on kind of my interest. What I started noticing a little over a year ago when I really got interested in this was that the students seemed to be ahead of me and a lot of the faculty members on their use of AI. And so I needed to kind of get up to speed. And most of the conversations, honestly, at my institution, most of the ones up till about a year ago revolved around how do we stop students from using AI and turning in stuff that's not really their work. And that seemed like everything was cast in sort of this negative sort of thing. And some of you may remember there was that initial wave of, oh, no, it's the beginning of the end kind of stuff. And so I had a couple of colleagues that were already kind of getting into using this. And so I really wanted to find out more about how it could be used constructively in the classroom, as opposed to this negative kind of how can we catch students who may be using AI to, you know, help write some of their papers, and how can we teach them how to use AI, to use ChatGPT, which is what most of the folks here were using. How can we teach them to use it appropriately? And so I was kind of struggling with that. But after going through the modules, it really gave me some really good ideas about how to do that, particularly in my online classes. We use Blackboard here as our platform. And I always require my students to upload their assignments to the assignment tab and to a corresponding discussion board. And I want my online classes to be not independent study, you know, where you submit an assignment, I grade it, you submit the next one. I want students to discuss their work with each other. And the training really opened my eyes to how I could use AI to help me stay on top of that process. Because I do go on and try to read all the posts on the discussion boards and try to respond to not all of them, but a lot of them. And I got a lot of really good ideas about how AI could help me do that and stay on top of things and work more efficiently, I guess, as opposed to, you know, being, it just does a lot of I can see it doing a lot of the stuff that I normally do anyway, giving me time to do more of the higher order types of things.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point. Cause you know, I think, I'm not sure who on our call is listening, who's a faculty member, but, I mean, teaching online, you've both taught online. I mean, I think Maria, we were going through like Quality Matters. We were just discussing that, you know, training. And that's almost, in my opinion, more time intensive than being in the classroom.
Yes.
and
It
not
is.
responding to all that discussion board post. I mean, it takes the communication piece is so intensive, I think, in an online environment. So, Maria, it sounded like you wanted to say something about that.
No, I was agreeing with you. And I also think that the communication piece in an online course is critical to keep the students engaged. So one of the things that I noted from the training was AI can help, as Aaron mentioned, with assessing what students have put in. So if you're looking at a discussion board, the response that a student has entered, AI can assist in identifying, are they hitting the points that I want them to hit in terms of, can I assess this using AI? Yes. But also, there was an example that I really learned from in the training, I believe, with Jean. It was one of the sessions with Jean, and it dealt with providing feedback to students. And the feedback that came from AI was so much more robust. And she admitted, she was like, I would not have provided this much information to my students. But being able to provide that additional feedback and rich feedback, I think can only benefit the student engagement process. So I definitely see AI benefiting the online environment 100%.
Aaron, did you have something you wanted to add there or?
No, well, I know we're going to get into some of the other questions here about examples of how it's integrated into that classroom.
Go for it.
I teach at the graduate level, so I use a lot of case studies and scenarios and this type of thing. And in the past, I would develop those things on my own based off experiences or based on something that's in the news or the case studies in law and this type of thing. And I immediately saw that this can really help me with that. I've done it a couple of times now, and I always have to go in and tweak the details and things to make it a little bit more appropriate. But not having to come up with something from scratch has been a really good. I would spend a lot of time coming up with a scenario or coming up with background for a case study. And if you put in the right prompts, AI, ChatGPT, one I'm still using, does a lot of that for you, and then you can just kind of customize it to exactly what you want it to be, and that gives me more time to actually, spend time on the other side of it and students responding to the questions that come up, and you ask them to identify certain things. So, and that's both online and face to face, and sometimes they're merging. We have a ever since COVID, we have a policy where even our face to face classes have to have a Zoom option in case somebody needs to zoom in for that class period. And I teach a class now that I have one student zooming in from Kansas, one from Texas, and one from Elizabethtown, which is here in Kentucky. But it works really well. And so I can focus more on coming up with the content I'm going to deliver in class and their response and go through the guided discussion than I used to in the past have to spend an awful lot of time coming up with the things from scratch. Yeah.
I really love that. And I think so many of us, somebody said, I'm using it to create case studies. I'm using ChatGPT to develop simulation-based in-person introduction to American government class next semester. Like, I mean, you think about the work. Yes, like this is a perfect example of a space that a lot of us are using case studies, I think, to teach from or have our students. Talking to like some of our folks in the medical field, and they were saying that they were using it for the exact same, here you've got this patient who's dealing with, I don't have to spend the time thinking about the patient things. I can
Yeah.
then make sure I'm coaching you up and that you have, and I've been able to now create new videos and to really engage my students. And so it was, I love that use of it. And I know I've created these questions, but I kind of want to. So as we're thinking then about, because the thing that you brought up, Aaron, that I don't really think these questions address that I think are as important is our initial fear was all these students were going to use this to cheat, right? And I know that in a couple of weeks when we're talking about kind of the college AI and the college administrator world, I know one of the things we're going to talk about is the policy piece, but curious, the two of you, as faculty members, are your institutions creating policy to guide? I mean, Maria, you talked about in my class, we're going to have this conversation. And I know at my institution, there's like you pick syllabus statement A, B, or C. It's like you will never use ChatGPT, you will kind of use ChatGPT, sure, use it whenever you want to. I mean, so I think we're all in these very different places, but curious what your institution's responses to it or training might be going on regarding the ethical piece, which is also a huge part, I know, of this micro-credential.
I
Sorry.
actually have not been, I'm not aware of any ChatGPT or AI training. There have been several web presentations that it's an option if you choose to go to. I've been to two, and they talk about policy, but I have not seen a policy. So I assume one is coming. I don't know when. They're working on it. And I think Aaron had a good point. We are behind our students when it comes to AI, which means our colleges and universities are behind our students when it comes to policy. And one great takeaway from the micro-credential webinar was we're going to need policy that can change quickly. It's not going to be a policy on AI that is set in stone because we're so early in the game. Everybody's learning how to use it and how best to use it. And as I heard Aaron talking about the fear of some with AI in the classroom and students cheating, I remembered the outroar with mobile phones in the classroom. And I don't know if you remember or had a situation where some faculty actually were collecting students' mobile phones because they didn't want them to Google the answer to whatever question they were asking. So that fear, I feel, maybe I'm an early adopter, I don't know, but I feel the fear of AI has the benefits of AI outweigh the fear that some faculty member. I think we need to learn how to best use AI. And as I mentioned, I plan on starting the first class with I recognize it, it's there. I plan on using it in different ways. How do you see yourself using it? And that's going to help guide me in better determining what their expectations are of how I use AI in the classroom. That's my hope.
Well, I started college in the fall of 1976. Okay, so you do the math. But when I got to college, there was a sale on slide rules in our bookstore. And we were having these huge discussions on whether or not students should be allowed to use calculators in the classroom. And then a little bit later, it was word processing. And then it was the internet. And it was all these types of things. And so one of the last webinars that I attended as part of that credential was, and I'm not sure I can pronounce his name correctly, but Jim Castanero. And he did a one on developing a policy about AI use, and it was actually one of the most informative. We have a task force here at Western. They've been coming up with recommendations and revised recommendations and policies, and really it comes down to what the professor is going to allow in their individual classrooms. So they want all the faculty to be aware of what the pros and the cons are and the limitations, but they didn't come out and say you can't use this or you can't use that. It comes down to basically what the instructor is going to allow in a particular classroom, and again, based on what the discipline is. You may have people in English, for example, they look at AI being used differently than somebody in math or science or those types of things, and so it was very good, and they gave examples of policies. And as you can guess, there's policies out there, everything from you can't use it at all ever, to you got to use it, but you got to cite it, and then you got to cite it how you use it, and all this type of thing. I think it's very difficult to come up with a policy that at this institution everybody has to adhere to this, And one of the things that Jim Castanero talked about is that, they're coming up with detection software But he was basically not really optimistic about the future because it's going to get better and better and better. As the AI gets better, the detection software is going to have to get better and better and better. And so it becomes if you're not careful, we spend a lot of our time on the wrong things, trying to detect something instead of trying to figure out the best way to integrate it in. I was joking with my students earlier this week. I said, we could get to a point where you just use AI to generate your papers. I'll have AI grade them, and then we can all feel good about ourselves, this kind of stuff. Unfortunately, I saw the light bulb go off with a couple of people. So, I was making a joke about that or whatever. I think as far as policies, a lot of institutions are, they have a working group. They have the folks they're kind of the early adopters. They get those together to kind of work out, if you have a center for innovation and learning and those types of things, and a lot of schools do these days, they usually leave it to that group, that department, to try to come up with policies that are going to be general. And then, they want us to put everything on the syllabus. So they want you to have, and we have to put everything about accessibility, everything about, you agree to, the library. Anyway, they want us to put a section in our syllabus, whatever the instructor decides, what their policy is going to be toward the use of AI. They want to make sure that we put that in our syllabus so the students that take the course know exactly what the policy is for that particular course on whether or not they can or cannot use AI. And if they do, how are they going to be allowed to use it?
It's the chat has just I clearly like hit an electrical line or something because our chat has just blown up as you all were talking and about so many good points, Aaron, that you and Maria have brought up that this is a big ask that we're asking of faculty in a way. I mean, and I think, I'm an adjunct instructor. Hey, you're going to tack on this additional training so that you can understand how to use AI and then understand how your students are using it. I mean, it is a lift, I think, for a lot of our faculty. Lots of debate about are students really using it as much as we think they are, right? That some of our students are very much into, oh yes, and then other students. I have my students actually use it as a study. They have to do, it's an extra credit assignment, but I say go in and pick Bard, pick chat. This is an idea that Jean Mandernick gave to me. And I said, what is something that's tough that you're learning, right? Is it biology, chemistry, whatever it is, and use the chat to create a study guide and a quiz. And then you turn that in to me. And they're amazed by it, the resource that it can be. And there's a lot of discussion. I mean, yes, the ethical nature and is this the computer safe? But what is the space that this might provide students who don't have resources for tutoring, who don't have, some kinds of resources to receive academic support in some new and pretty exciting ways. But Aaron, circling back, yes, how are we creating these policies? And Maria's point that they're going to have to be flexible because this is changing rapidly. I mean, I think about, we've been doing this for over a year now, right? AI, but it's, and that has changed so incredibly rapidly as well. Is there anything, as you're thinking about, this piece of, and Aaron, you had touched on, the engagement in your classes. Like, I think there's this fear that we're going to implement these tools and that, as exactly as you said, students going to use AI to submit the assignment, faculty members going to use AI to grade it, and there's no engagement, and we've lost that connection, that human connection piece, which somebody mentioned is a concern of theirs in our chat. I'm excited about some ways that I'm seeing this can really get, you talked about case studies, but there's some other really cool aspects of AI that can create opportunities for engagement. I'm thinking and wondering what, I know I have some thoughts that are swirling around in my head, but Maria and Aaron, if you have any other things that you're like, oh, yes.
Aaron
Well,
might be better to start this.
go ahead.
Go
Go
ahead,
ahead, Maria.
Aaron. No,
No,
I
go
was
ahead. Go
saying
ahead.
you should start because I won't be using AI until the spring. That'll be the first class that I'm actually using it. So I'm eager to hear what you have to say.
No, I've actually used. I teach in a research methods class this semester, and I actually ask, what's a better way to explain some of the qualitative methodologies? Because I'm always, the quantitative stuff, which is my background, I kind of predate the qualitative stuff, and so getting students are always a lot more fuzzier on those types of research methods than they are on the quantitative stuff, and so I've used AI to help me generate. A content, how do you generate things that I can use in the classroom that will help to make good examples to help them to kind of understand the concepts we're talking about a little bit better? You know, if you don't have a background in philosophy or phenomenology or all these types of things, it can be very hard, and that's both the instructor and the students. So some of the things really talking about there, I think using it in kind of that way. And you know, I'm big on discussion. One of my things is that I want to be engaging, but not necessarily entertaining. And I think some students these days expect more to be entertained than engaged. And actually, AI has helped me come up with things that are going to be engaging, but not are just going to be done to a flash and whatever. It's hard for the contemporary classroom, at least mine, to compete with all the other things that students have access to, video games. And this kind of stuff. And so, if we expect that level of engagement, most of the students that I have are gamers on some level. And so, you know, they have an expectation of what the class is going to be like, and it's not going to be really engaging unless it grabs them the way some of these, they can get so immersed in it like they do in a video game. It's just by comparison, it's boring. And so I ask AI to help me come up with ways that will help make the content, you know, not entertainment, but more engaging. And what would, you know, today's contemporary college students, and you type in a profile of what the students that you deal with, kind of some characteristics, tell me what I can do that would perhaps keep these students' attention more than what I'm currently doing. And it came back with some pretty good suggestions about things. You know, some of them, I have a no electronics policy in my classes for the most part, unless. If you're on your phone, it needs to be something related to the class. As something, I do a lot of polls and I do things where they have to log in and y'all respond to this, and then it'll put a word diagram up on the screen based on what people are responding. You know, they're still kind of impressed by that. But sometimes AI came back and told me, well, you're going to have to allow more technology in your classroom in order to keep their attention on things, which I thought was kind of interesting. Because I literally a few years ago implemented in my syllabus, unless it's class related, stay off your phone, stay off your iPad, stay off your and today the students increasingly find that difficult. They're not bad students. They're just their whole lives are tied to that iPhone. And they have a hard time putting it down and not, you know, I ask a question in class, their first instinct is to pull it up and start looking up stuff. Say, nope, don't do that. But, you know, I'm still struggling with this is what I'm trying to say. You know, and AI is helping me find a good balance, I guess you might say with that. Yeah.
That's really insightful. It is interesting how, I mean, and we're seeing in our state, they've just banned cell phones in all schools, right? So you have to lock it up when you get in. And students are talking about how that's helped them to focus more. And I know I have those kinds of challenges in my classroom too. You know, one of the things when I think about engagement, we had this aha moment at our institution that we have a syllabus that's a template, right? And the syllabus is not, we've had conversations on previous Friday Five Lives about, you know, how to reach first generation college students and all this. And our syllabus does not do any of that. And so one of the micro credential components is about using AI to create a syllabus. And like, I am so excited to discover that evidently I have to include content from our syllabus template, but I don't have to use a template. And I can actually build a syllabus now that will really speak to who my students are as first generation learners, as, you know, underserved students. So I'm just really excited about those kinds of possibilities with it. Maria, I know you're getting started in spring, and we're gonna have you come back and talk to us. And there's some really good points in Aaron, as you were speaking about how you're using it, you know, in your quantitative, right? Qualitative study, right?
Qualitative research, yeah, that's always harder for students to get those concepts down than they are the quantitative. Yeah.
Right. But it's really, this is a skill that workers, as people hiring our graduates are really expect. I think there's been a quite not quite enough time, right? But they expect graduates to come out having the ability to use AI in their workforce, right? And we're like, well, we need a little bit more time here to teach these people. So I think it's really, I appreciate that somebody put that in our chat because these are skills that are expectations of the folks who are hiring our graduates. And so, in a way, we have, I think, a responsibility to them to make sure we're providing these spaces in our classes outside. Somebody mentioned, using them in career centers for cover letters and resume writing and things like that. So, it definitely has a lot of application to it. So, Brian McDonald said, I've heard someone say AI will not take our jobs, but those who use AI might take our jobs. So, I thought that was a great one to note. Anything that you're seeing, I was thinking about Quality Matters today. I don't know if anybody else on the call is familiar with that kind of assessment, if you will, of online development of teaching online courses and course delivery, which is very heavy around learning objectives. And just curious if any, using learning AI content around learning objectives, around assessments. I know one of the micro-credentials pieces speaks to creating those assessments. And I've heard Jean speak, and she was talking about, using AI to craft, have her students not write the paper, right? Like we used to do in the old days, but to really be able, they query chat and she can see their critical thinking skills right through how they're writing their queries. And I was like, wow, I had that kind of blew my mind. But wondering if you all are doing anything differently, Maria, as you're thinking about the assessments you're building for your classes or Aaron, learning objective outcomes.
Well, Jean did bring that up in one of the webinars, and I was really impressed by the use of AI as an assessment tool. And what I'm finding as I'm playing with ChatGPT is, as Jean mentioned several times, the more specific you are, the better the outcome, the better whatever information you receive. And so for a student, from a student's perspective, if the student understands the content, then they are going to enter information into AI and receive a much better response. So you can't just say, write me a paper on communication in the workplace and really get a robust response or give me an outline. Whereas if they are as specific as they can possibly be, then that outline is going to be reflective of what they've already learned or are familiar with, and that hopefully has come from you, I hope, or a collaborative effort with other students.
Right. I'm even wondering, sorry, if any of us, anybody's using chat to, or Bard or any of those, right, to create, you can create your own kind of bots, if you will, that will be specific to a class. It's got all the, content, learning objectives, everything loaded in there. And then students are working in that space. And just curious, Sherilyn says she's taking a course on that. I'm curious if anybody's doing that. Jeannie said PlayLab, I guess, is the space that we need to go. Aaron, you were going to say something before I jumped in. Apologies.
No. That was a really, really good point you were making there. In fact, I was watching kind of the chat kind of scroll by here at the bottom, and one of the things I did a webinar a lot long ago on the future of student affairs and how it's tied to the future of higher education. We talked about AI, obviously, in there, and there's a lot of things in student services that are related to teaching, like academic advising, for example. I think where AI is going to really be have a good application is that, We have programs now, DegreeWorks and other things that keep up with the courses you need to take to get your degree. So you make sure you got all the bases covered. It can pretty quickly look and see what you've taken, what you need to take next semester. So the AI can take over the function of kind of keeping up with that and making suggestions, but that also frees up the person who's doing the academic advisor to stay focused on the career aspect of it. So, if I'm not having to work, will that course count? Will this count course? Or will this, can we substitute this? If I want to change my major, how many more courses do I have to take? AI can do all that and make suggestions and stuff. That allows you to have that human connection and to have that relationship with the student. You can spend more time on qualitative than, well, are you happy in your major? I'm going to trust a human being to have a conversation with me about that as opposed to AI or a bot or that kind of thing. I don't want to make a, I don't, I'm not at the point yet where I want students to make life-altering decisions about their majors and careers based on what AI tells them to do. AI can give us, option A, option B, option C, this type of thing. But AI has a hard time figuring out what's going to make you happy, what's going to be satisfying with you. And that's where I think our academic advisors are going to have more time to focus on those aspects of the conversation and less on the technical part of the conversation. And yeah, the other thing too about AI that kind of, I think that empathy piece and the, I've tried having AI grade a couple of essays, and what I found is that if you have a really good rubric, it can see whether or not it adheres to the rubric and make suggestions. But where it's still struggling a little bit, let's say you've got a student that's sarcastic or they're into satire or this kind of stuff, AI still has a hard time picking up on the sense of humor with things that, as a human, and I have a hard time, things that I consider funny. My students don't anymore. I'm kind of dated on that. And I'm not sure, sometimes they'll make comments in class that I'm not sure what they're saying because they're using the language and the lingo of a lot of today's students. And I've actually used AI to type in, okay, if somebody said to me this, should I be feel complimented or should I feel insulted? And honestly, it's hard to admit that sometimes, but literally, there have been things I've said, okay, if a student said this to me, what did they mean by that? And sometimes it comes back, they could have meant this or they could have meant this. You just need to know. And so it's been kind of enlightening to keep me kind of in touch with what students are saying, because you can get lost in today's discussion. Some of my students, they get off on a tangent and they use language that I'm not familiar with, and it's hard for me to keep up. It's an AI has helped with that.
And I love that for so many reasons. I mean, I think first of all, you bring up a point that we need to make sure we keep reiterating. And I know the micro-credential does this. I mean, AI is ultimately trained by all the content it receives, and it does have bias. I mean, that's just the reality of AI. So, important to remember that. But that whole piece about understanding the language and the nuance and thinking about, how we can apply that with our students. And somebody said, oh, students are more comfortable asking questions of AI than they are their faculty. And one of the things I've had my students do is they have to email a professor, right? We're going to practice this in our first year experience class. Well, they're like, I don't know what to say. Put it in chat, right? Like, it's a chat will help you craft that initial response, and then you can make it your own, but it gives you something to start from. So you can really use it. And the same is true for faculty, right? Like somebody was talking about syllabus and insults and things like that. I mean, students email us and you think, how in the world am I going to respond to this? And you can say to chat, respond to this email in a kind way because I don't have the patience to do that right now, right? So I mean, I think those are very basic kind of examples, but I do think you bring up some really great points about understanding kind of the bias, the nuance behind the AI bot that we're using, but then also thinking about how we can use it in a very purposeful manner regarding our language. Awesome. Thank you. Maria, any thoughts? I don't want to.
No, I really look forward to seeing how AI, I guess, translates. I see AI as being very literal. And so those nuanced, the language, the words that students may use, like Aaron said, that I may not be aware of yet, or the way in which they use certain words, AI hopefully will be able to translate a sarcastic comment, and hopefully I'll benefit from whatever AI provides. So that's a use that I never would have thought I'd need AI for. But thank you, Aaron. That's a great one.
Well, a few years ago, I had a student tell me in class that I was throwing shade. And at the time, I had no clue what they meant. I went to Google and said, okay, a student just said I was throwing shade. Should I be insulted? Oh, no, that just means you're kind of being, facetious, or you're kind of, I understood exactly what it was. Well, okay. But at the time, literally, and maybe I look kind of ignorant, but I really didn't know what it meant. And I've noticed that over the last few years, students, the language changed. They use phrases that, that mean different things than they would to my generation. And honestly, AI, okay, you could type in, if a person who's 18 years old uses this phrase, what do they mean as opposed to somebody my age using that phrase? And you get some interesting stuff back, but sometimes you're right, it misses it. Depending on how it's been trained and how it's ongoing in training, it can sometimes say, well, it could be this or it could be that. It would depend on the student kind of stuff, which makes sense. Yeah.
Ryan has brought up the important point that nobody hears rad enough anymore. I do want to be conscious of our time and just kind of ask a last question here. But through your teaching, your student interaction, you completed this micro credential. Kind of any aha moments, any evolutionary thought, any kind of final takeaways that you want to gift us with as we wrap up today?
I would say this is all evolutionary, Meg. And we are just starting. So for me, I'm so looking forward to I'm looking at it as more of a positive tool. And it's definitely a wave of the future. It's not going away, so we can't bury it under, a pillow and say, hopefully I don't have to worry about this tomorrow. It's not going anywhere. We just have to learn as faculty the best way to utilize the tool and encourage our students to utilize it as appropriately as possible, or teach our students to use it appropriately in the academic environment. But I'm more excited than fearful.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think that's important. I'm a little bit older now as a faculty member, and I've seen people retire over less transitions than what we're experiencing now because they just didn't want to learn the new thing. I don't want to learn this email stuff. I don't want to learn this internet stuff. I don't want to, I'm done. And if you stay with this, I think you just have to adapt to it. It's not going to go away. It's not a fad. It's not going to come and go. It's going to be with us, and it's going to be taking over more and more things that we used to have to do. And I think if we see it in a positive light, as opposed to something to be fearful of, because again, it is what we make it into what it's going to be. And the students, again, they have been ahead of the faculty here on most technological innovations over the last couple of decades. And so if we're going to stay up with them, so to speak, we're going to have to learn how to use this and how to use it appropriately. And we're going to have to come up with policies that we are comfortable with in our own classrooms that satisfy, what we're trying to accomplish. Critical thinking is a big one of me with mine. Over the last 30 years, I don't think today's students, I go out on a limb here and probably get slammed, they're not as good critical thinkers as they were, or
No,
as,
I agree with that.
yeah, a couple of years ago. And I think if AI can help us get back to the critical thinking piece, that the fundamental root of problem solving, critical decision making, everything. And I think AI, as long as it's a tool that supports that and we don't turn everything over to AI, I think we'll be okay. It's a partner We don't want the tool to become the master, so to speak, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it's we but we can't dismiss it, or we can't we're going to have to work with it. If you're going to be a faculty member in the future, you're going to be dealing with AI, period. Yeah.
100%.
I want to thank you both so much. We've had some notes here that folks are running to meetings and things like that. And a couple of questions just really quickly about where they find micro-credentialing. So just as a friendly reminder to folks on in our PowerPoint session, slide 3, if you are at any other institution outside of the California Community College System or CSU Fullerton, you'll click here. If you're a part of the California Community College System, and sorry, this is our system is remembering me and having visited another institution recently, but I just wanted to give you an idea of what the micro-credential would look like for you. And so literally you just scroll down. There are 3 required courses, as you can see at the top. And then as you move through the pathway, you'll find some electives that you can find. And so you can kind of pick and choose, right? What seems to be most appropriate for where you are. I know, as I mentioned, I was really excited about the one with regards to building the syllabus, because that's something top of mind right now. So Jewel, there was a question, sorry, about are the on-demands the elective courses? It's all available. Whenever you want to hop in with the micro-credential, it is an asynchronous offering to folks. So again, just one more time, for our California Community College, we're excited to partner with LIFT and offer this available to you all and to CSU Fullerton. And then if you're at another institution, please hop in to the link that you find there on slide 3. So Maria and Aaron, I just want to thank you so much for being brave enough to hop in and spend the time doing this. And Melissa's been kind enough to put our survey in the chat as well. That really does help inform us. If you know a colleague who's maybe not in the teaching space, who's more in that student services, classified staff, please encourage them to join us next week. On slide 2, you'll find the links for that, those conversations that we'll be having the next several weeks. So it's just a lot of fun to get to engage in this space. Such fantastic chat. Don't worry, folks. We're going to send you the PowerPoint presentation, the recording, and the chat. As we wrap up next week, you will receive that all from us. So, and just as a friendly reminder, you'll also find our podcast on any podcasting platform that brings you joy and makes you happy. So thank you so much for joining us today, Maria and Aaron. As always, it's such an incredible pleasure. You guys are just fantastic and always have so much to share with how we can, you know, continue to be brave and move into these new spaces. And I thank you all so much for your time and your energy today. Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend. Hope there's time for rest and renewal. And take care.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Friday Five Live is brought to you by Innovative Educators. Innovative Educators offers 6 online services for your onboarding support and training needs. Visit us at innovativeeducators.org to see how we can support your student success initiatives.